my pencil on its point, making paperclip sculptures, or on a really bad day staring up at the little holes in the ceiling tiles and playing imaginary games of connect the dots. Boredom and lack of challenge have long been identified as common sources of dissatisfaction at work. Numerous scientific studies and surveys, such as those conducted by Sheila Henderson, working at Stanford University, or Karen Lascoco and her colleagues, sociologists at SUNY Albany, have confirmed that challenge is one of the primary factors in job satisfaction. In fact, experts in the field of organizational environment and worker satisfaction often speak of the concept known as person-environment fit. To enjoy maximum work satisfaction and performance, workers must find a balance between two poles, with too much challenge on one end and not enough challenge on the other. With too much challenge, workers experience stress, strain, and deterioration of work performance. With too little challenge, workers become bored, which equally inhibits job satisfaction and hinders performance. In view of the prominent role of challenge or boredom in happiness at work, I raised the issue with the Dalai Lama, explaining, "You know, in talking to my friends, as well as looking at the literature on worker satisfaction, it appears that boredom is quite a common source of dissatisfaction at work." He nodded, commenting,
"I think it's quite natural for human beings to become bored if they engage in a repetitive activity. At a certain point, some kind of fatigue sets in, some kind of dislike or unwillingness or lack of enthusiasm in the activity."
Does that happen to you as well?
Yes. For example, recently I did a two-week retreat, an intense retreat on Avalokiteshvara, with the recitation of the six-syllable mantra, and as a completion, at the conclusion of the retreat, I had to do certain empowerment rituals for 3 days. They're very long, complex rituals. So on the third day, when the end was approaching, all day I was thinking, "Oh, I don't have to do this tomorrow." I was looking forward to it being over. This is very natural for human beings.
Personally, how do you deal with that?
In my own case, my overall attitude to life and work and my basic frame of mind perhaps exert a great influence. For example, every morning I reflect deeply upon a verse from the very great 7th century Indian Buddhist master Chantideva. It begins, "For as long as space remains." Do you know that verse?
Yes, I nodded. He continued reciting,
"For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, may I too remain and dispel the miseries of the world." Personally, this verse has been a tremendous source of inspiration for me. I reflect also on other similar verses, such as the hymns to Green Tara composed by the first Dalai Lama, Gentun Drup, which give me deep inspiration and reinforce my dedication to the ideal of altruism. I recite these verses and reflect upon them and make the aspiration that I'll dedicate my day as much as possible to being of service and benefit to others. Then I deliberately project the thought that I'll be able to spend my entire life in fulfilling this ideal. Thinking about the vastness of time, as referred to in Shantideva's prayer, "As long as space remains," really has a tremendous power in it. This idea of the vastness of time and that kind of long-range dedication makes a huge difference. Once in a while, I confront situations where there might be a certain reluctance on my part, thinking, "Oh, I've got to do this. Oh, what a chore." For example, today I had to attend the proceedings of the exiled Tibetan parliament, and initially there was this feeling of, "Oh, I've got to do this. What a chore." But immediately I reminded myself, this too is part of my service. This too is part of my work for the benefit of other sentient beings. The moment I make that connection, immediately that kind of reluctance and uninterest disappears. So, of course, this is my way of dealing with these situations, but this may not apply to everyone.